Good evening, everyone, and welcome to this pre-recorded worship service for the evening worship on Lord's Day, the 28th of June. We commence worship, singing praise to God from Psalm 42. Psalm 42, and the tune is Beatitudo number 50. So 42nd Psalm, and singing the first five verses of this psalm. And it begins with these words: "Just as the deer for water pants, I long, O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I God's face view?" And there we have the desire of the psalmist that writes about his thirst for the living God. Psalm 42, the first five verses, the tune Beatitudo number 50. Let us unite in praising God.
Just as the deer for water pants, I long, O God, for you. I thirst for God, the living God. When can I God's face view? My tears have to me been food, both in the night and day, while unto me continually, where is your God, they say, poured out with when this I think upon, how often with the multitude I eagerly had gone. I led them to the house of God with voice of joy and praise, along with all the multitude. We kept the festive days. Oh, why are you cast down, my soul? Why so disturbed in me? Hope now in God, I'll praise him yet. My Saviour God is he.
Now we speak to God in prayer. Lord, our Father, we thank you that we can come to worship you now. We praise you for the words of praise that you give to us. We see the psalmist speaking of a thirst for God, and Lord, we come with confession upon our lips that often we don't have that thirst for you that we should have, and that is fitting. And we pray that you will forgive our sin in that, O Lord. We pray that you will be pleased to work in our souls, and we pray that you will give us what we are lacking. We pray for your help now, that your Spirit will move among all who listen to your word. And we pray, O God, that you would do a good work among us that will result in praise and honor for yourself. Hear us, O Lord, forgive all our sins, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to read from several places in the book of Psalms. First of all, just reading those verses that we have been singing in Psalm 42. Psalm 42, And then I want to read a few verses in Psalm 63, and we will sing some of those words at the end of our service, and then also in Psalm 143. First of all, Psalm 42, which is page 502 in our Pew Bible, the first five verses here in this psalm. This is God's word. As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my food day and night, while they continually say to me, where is your God? When I remember these things, I pour out my soul within me, for I used to go with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept a pilgrim feast. Why are you cast down, O my soul, and why are you disquieted within me? Hope in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. And Psalm 63, page 512 in our Pew Bible, and reading the first eight verses here in this psalm. O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water. So I have looked for you in the sanctuary to see your power and your glory. Because your loving kindness is better than life, my lips shall praise you. Thus I will bless you while I live. I will lift up my hands in your name. My soul shall be satisfied as with marrow and fatness, and my mouth shall praise you with joyful lips. When I remember you on my bed, I meditate on you in the night watches. Because you have been my help, therefore in the shadow of your wings I will rejoice. My soul follows close behind you. Your right hand upholds me. And also in Psalm 143, at the beginning of that psalm, page 556 in our Pew Bible, Psalm 143 at verse 1. Hear my prayer, O Lord. Give ear to my supplications. In your faithfulness, answer me, and in your righteousness, do not enter into judgment with your servant, for in your sight no one living is righteous. For the enemy has persecuted my soul. He has crushed my life to the ground. He has made me dwell in darkness, like those who have long been dead. Therefore my spirit is overwhelmed within me. My heart within me is distressed. I remember the days of old. I meditate on all your works. I muse on the work of your hands. I spread out my hands to you. My soul longs for you like a thirsty land, Selah. Answer me speedily, O Lord. My spirit fails. Do not hide your face from me, lest I be like those who go down into the pit. Cause me to hear your loving kindness in the morning, for in you do I trust. Cause me to know the way in which I should walk, for I lift up my soul to you. And we end our reading there at verse 8 in Psalm 143. Verse 6 there in Psalm 143, the psalmist says, my soul longs for you like a thirsty land. And in the goodness of God in recent times, we have had many, many hours of sunshine, exceptionally long hours of sunshine we've had. Quite a dry period, and we're thankful to God for the rain that he has sent in recent times. Many people have had gardens where the edges of the lawn, at least the edges, had become a yellow colour. And if you were out walking in town, the grass verges were all looking very, very dry. The ground was thirsty, and the ground needed to be refreshed. I wonder, when was the last time when you felt physically thirsty? When did you last have a real thirst? I can hardly remember the last time that I really felt thirsty. I think it probably goes back to a holiday we had, a canal boat holiday in England, and it was down the south of England. It was the we were on the Kennet and Avon canal, runs between Bath and Windsor, and at one stage towards the end of our time on the canal boat, the canal boat had travelled beyond the place where our car was parked, and I needed to get back to the canal boat and get back to where my car was from the canal boat, and I ran along the towpath that's always there alongside the canal, and it was a really hot summer's afternoon, and I had about 8.5 miles to go, and it was nice flat going, but by the time I made it to the car, I was absolutely ready for a drink, but I hadn't been smart enough to bring any money with me, and so I didn't have anything to buy a drink with. And then I had to drive in the car and get beyond where the canal boat was and park the car somewhere close to where I thought we were going to be mooring up that night. And then I had to run back the way to where the canal boat was, and that was another couple of miles. And by the time I got back to that canal boat that hot afternoon, I was thirsty. And I was really ready for a drink. And very seldom, I would say, I have been really, really thirsty. Now, the Psalms that we have read portions of here from God's Word, in these Psalms, they speak about a thirst, and they speak to us about a spiritual thirst, about a thirst for God. And that's something that's mentioned in many places in the Scriptures, but these three psalms speak of that thirst for God. Psalm 42 at the beginning: "As the deer pants for the water brooks, so pants my soul for you, O God. My soul thirsts for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Psalm 63, verse 1: "O God, you are my God. Early will I seek you. My soul thirsts for you. My flesh longs for you, in a dry and thirsty land where there is no water." And Psalm 143, verse 6, "I spread out my hands to you, my soul longs for you, like a thirsty land." And this kind of thirst for God is something that is characteristic of a growing Christian. And so we do well to ask ourselves, do we have a thirst for God? The first thing I want to say is that there are many people who never thirst for God. They know that there must be more to life than just eating and working and sleeping and things like that. They sense that there is an emptiness to life. There is a pointlessness to all of it. But their thoughts never really turn to God. They never have a thirst for God. They never have an interest in God. And so today there are many people, and on the Lord's Day, they will have given God no thought. It's not the Lord's Day as far as they're concerned. He'll not have featured in their thoughts at all. They'll not have had any notion at all of worshiping God on the Lord's Day. Some people may have done very little today. Others may have been very busy doing their own things, chasing after those things that give them significance in life. And different people seek their fulfillment in different things. For some people, it's the accumulation of wealth that they love to count up how much they're worth. For others, it's their status. It's how they're seen by others. Or it may be the holding power or authority in some way. Others seek fulfillment in being owners of property. For others, it's their sporting achievements that is the big thing in their life. And similarly, there are those, and it's their academic achievements that are the significant thing. And people seek fulfillment through being fashionable, through keeping up with musical interests, all the current entertainment trends, or just the accumulation of more and more stuff. And all of those things and many other kind of things can be pursued with a zeal which God says should be reserved for Him alone. It's God that we're to love with all our heart, but many people find that they love other things instead with all their heart. But it's not only those who give God no thought who don't thirst for Him. There are many people whom the godless would class as being religious people who do not thirst for God. They may worship a God, but it's not the God of the Scriptures. Many people worship gods that are just man-made gods, and therefore they don't thirst for the real God. They content themselves with a false God. They don't thirst for the real God. And so there are many people for whom thirsting for God is an unknown thing. Then, in the second place, in thinking about thirst for God, I want to say that many Christians lose their thirst for God. Even among those who are Christians, that thirst of God which we can have at one stage in our Christian lives is something that can be lost. And that could be the case for all of us who are listening to this today. You can genuinely trust in the Lord and yet not thirst for God as you should. And no doubt we're all guilty of that to one extent or another. There are various causes that can lead to us being those who don't thirst for God. Sometimes it is clearly our own fault. Sometimes we are guilty of allowing things that don't matter nearly as much as God to become bigger to us than God Himself. And we're all capable of becoming overly obsessed with things, and we end up losing the plot. And there are lots of different things that Christians can thirst for instead of thirsting for God. It varies from person to person. It varies according to our interests. In days of lockdown, you could be more interested in your garden than you are in the Word of God. You could be more interested in in tidying your garage than in spending time with the Lord. You could be more concerned about your physical appearance and the things that you can't get done to help your physical appearance than you are about your spiritual state and your relationship with God. You could be more interested in pleasing other people than you are in pleasing God. And these things are our fault. Jeremiah wrote about God's people abandoning God in favor of broken cisterns that could hold no water. And we can all be guilty of doing silly things like that. Sometimes our lack of thirst for God is clearly our own fault. But then, in the second place, there are other occasions when we may lack thirst for God because we become worn down and burned out by what we've had to do in life. And many Christians are busy people. For many Christians, life is very busy. People have their work and their responsibilities that other people who aren't Christians have. But then on top of that, there is our commitment to the Church of Christ. And there are so many things that we want to do, so many things we believe are worthwhile and that we should be giving our time and energy to, and sometimes it just is too much. And sometimes we go over the edge and we get burned out. And when that happens, we're in trouble. Our tendency is to keep going and keep going until we break down. And then it all just becomes too much for us. And when that happens, then we doubt the reality of our faith. And we think to ourselves, well, if I really was a Christian, this wouldn't have happened to me. And I wouldn't be feeling so low within myself and so dry in my soul. And we don't feel at a time like that that we're growing in our relationship with the Lord. We can be like Elijah, who had had enough, and he was worn out, and he wanted to pack it all in, and he just wanted God to take his life. And yet, God is able to use times like that for our good. And we can learn from those times. Donald Whitney comments that a believer may not sense spiritual growth when fatigued or burned out, but instead may brood under shadowy thoughts about the reality of his relationship with Christ. And yet, he says, much may have been learned in the very battle that caused the fatigue. Things which, when the sunlight returns to the soul, will be seen as significant spiritual turning points. Even in those low times, God can be at work. Sometimes we have no thirst for God because we have run ourselves into the ground and we are flat. And that's the way we are. We're not built to be those who can be constantly on the go and continue like that. Well, then, in the third place, there are occasions when our sense of lack of thirst for God is entirely God's doing. There are times when God withdraws from his people. Or maybe I should say, there are times when God allows us to feel that he has withdrawn from us. And our faith will tell us that God has promised that he will never leave us or forsake us. And that's what we believe. But what we feel is that he has left, that he has withdrawn, that he is a distant, far off God. Sometimes God does that. And God does that for our good. And God will always have good and wise reasons for why he does that. And one of the blessings of singing the Psalms is that the Psalms express sometimes that sense of God-forsakenness, that sense that God is not near at hand. He has cast me aside. He has forsaken me. He is far from helping me. Those are the feelings that are expressed in the words of various different psalms. And God gives us these things in his word to show us that his servants have been here before. And when God withdraws himself from us, that it's not some weird thing that is happening in our experience. It is a sign of spiritual health when someone is aware of a withdrawing of God's presence. That's a far better sign than if someone's not bothered at all. William Gurnall wrote, "The Christian must trust in a withdrawing God." Sometimes God withdraws and there is a lack of thirst for him. So, noted first of all that there are many people who never thirst for God, and then that many Christians lose their thirst for God. In the third place, I want to speak about seeking a renewed thirst for God. What can you do if you sense that your thirst for God, that your delight in God, is not what it was or is not what it should be? And there are two simple things that I want to say. The first thing you can do is to pray about it. Thirst for God is not something that we can stir up within ourselves. It is something which God grants to us. God, the Holy Spirit, who lives within every Christian, is able to give us a thirst for God. We read in the scriptures of God stirring up the spirit of people. And that's what we are to pray for, that God would stir us up within our spirit, that God would give us a thirst for him. And we should expect that God will be true to his word, that we will find him when we seek him with all our heart, because that's what he has promised. A.W. Tozer has a prayer, a published prayer, in which he says, "I am ashamed of my lack of desire. O God, the triune God, I want to want thee. I long to be filled with longing. I thirst to be made thirsty still." And he's asking God to give him this thirst, to give him this longing, to give him this desire for God. He's ashamed of the lack of desire, and he asks God to give him what he is lacking. And Jesus says, "You do not have because you do not ask." And so if we want more thirst for God, well, then we're to ask. We're to pray about it. We're to ask the Lord to stir up a thirst for him within us. Then the other thing that we need to do is to take time to listen to God. The word of God that we have in the scriptures, that word of God is a word that we need to take time to listen to. We need to meditate on the things, to give deep consideration to the things that God says to us in his word. It's not enough just to read the word of God. George Muller says that the simple reading of the word of God can become information that only passes through our minds just as water passes through a pipe. Word of God is just like information passing through our minds, like water passing through a pipe. And if God's word just passes through, it won't do any good. You know what it's like when you've not had rain for a long time, and then you get this sudden heavy rain, and it all just washes away, and it doesn't accomplish anything. Well, if God's word is just something we read, and it never gets absorbed into us, well, then it won't arouse a thirst for God within us. One of the things that I was looking forward to in the summer of 2020 was the Olympic Games in Tokyo. They're not happening this year. I'm not sure that they will definitely happen next year either. Some of the places where the Olympic Games are held produce concerns for different events because of the climatic conditions. That was the case in Beijing in 2008, where there was great concern about the smog in the air, and the Chinese were busy doing everything they could to get their air cleaned up. In the Olympics before that, in 2004, the Athens Olympics, there was concern about the heat. It can be very hot in Greece in August. And back in those days, the best female marathon runner in the world was Paula Radcliffe of the United Kingdom of Great Britain and Northern Ireland, to give it its proper team title. And when she was coming into the Athens Olympics in 2004, she had a foot injury, but it wasn't bad enough to mean that she wasn't able to run. But she was taking anti-inflammatory drugs in order to enable her to run. These were fully legal. She wasn't breaking any rules, but the anti-inflammatory drugs had a harmful effect upon her digestive system. And what it meant was that the food and fluid that she was taking in, it wasn't being absorbed into her body. It was just passing through. It wasn't being digested. She wasn't absorbing those nutrients that she needed to have. And because of that, she was using up all her body reserves of glycogen. And by the time she got to the mile 22 in the marathon, her tank was completely empty. All the reserves had been used up. And though she was the best marathon runner in the world, she just couldn't go on any further. She couldn't. She just collapsed. And the same thing can happen to us where food for the soul is concerned. We can read God's word and it gets into our head, but soon afterwards there'll be lots of other things that will get into our head. And God's word will just get washed along, and it'll get washed out by the current of other things coming on behind. And that's the great danger. If you just read the Word of God, it never really gets into you. And so we need to strive to really take time to listen to what God says to us in His Word. And that is very, very difficult. It's not hard to read the Bible, but it is hard to really think about what you've read. We have an enemy who wants God's words to go right through us without ever doing us any good. And what can we do to try to take on board what God says to us in His Word? Well, one thing is to focus on a phrase or a verse or something short and really focus on that. And maybe you'll have read lots of verses, but to focus on one particular thing, a thought to really consider and explore with your mind and think about those words and ask yourself some questions about those words. Just spend a bit of time thinking about those few words and pray about those things and think of what difference that this truth can make in your life. Linger over a few words. Say them over in your mind. Think about them again later in the day. Donald Whitney writes, "Soak your soul slowly in the water of the Word, and you'll find it not only refreshes you, but prompts a satisfying thirst for more." We need to take time to absorb God's Word. If we don't absorb it, it'll be gone. It'll get whooshed along by the next thing we have to think about. And a wee while later, we'll not even remember what it was that we were reading about. And it is absorbing, taking inside of us the Word of God. That is what gives us an appetite for more of God's Word and for more of God Himself. So we can seek a renewed thirst for God simply by praying for it, by asking God to give us this, and then by being careful to really take time to listen to what God is saying to us in our reading of His Word. That we don't just read it, but we meditate upon it. We consider it. We give careful consideration. That we make sure that God is communicating with us. God is able to give us a thirst for Him. And the more we thirst for God, the more our thirst for God can increase. So may God grant that we will have this thirst for God that we read of in the Scriptures, that we have maybe known in our own experience, but which we can know in a much greater measure. Amen. Well, let us turn then to God in our prayers. Our Father in heaven, we praise You for the words that we see in the Scriptures where the writers are speaking about their thirst for You. And, O Lord, we pray that You would give to us that thirst for Yourself. We thank You for how the Lord Jesus spoke about Himself and about the living waters and about being able to give that which truly satisfies. And we pray that You will give us that right and healthy thirst for You, O Lord. May we know a dissatisfaction with the things of this world. May we know that those things will not satisfy. And so, Lord, give us a thirst for that in which there is a true satisfaction. We pray, Lord, that You will help us to listen to You and to what You say to us in the Scriptures. And we pray, O God, that when we read Your Word, that we'll not just do it because we think that's what we should be doing, but, O Lord, that we would want to hear what You would say to us. And Lord, help us to be open to your word telling us things that we don't want to hear. We pray that you'll forgive us, O Lord, when we just skim over the things that are a bit uncomfortable for us, and we go on to get to something that feels a bit easier for us to handle. Lord, forgive us our sin. We pray, Lord, that you will help us to pause and to listen carefully and to take in the things, to take on board the things that you tell us. And we pray that you'll keep us from being so busy with our little things and our little agenda that we don't really listen to the instructions of our Lord. We pray, Father, for those who never thirst for you, don't know what it is to thirst for you. And we pray, O God, that they will not remain like that. We pray, Father, that you will cause a great work of your Spirit to be done. And we pray that those who are content with material things will cease to be content, that they will see that these things don't last and these things don't bring real satisfaction. We pray that people will be concerned about their spiritual well-being, concerned about their souls, concerned about their sin. And Lord, we pray that you will give people a desire to know you and to have a higher purpose in life and a lasting reason for existence. We pray, Lord, that you would work mightily and that there'll be many who have never had any thirst for you, who will come to know that and be profoundly changed in their lives. We thank you that you're the God who is mighty to save and to give that thirst which no one could produce within themselves. We pray, Father, for the work of the gospel. We pray for the mission work of the Barracols in Spain. We pray that after all the difficulties that there has been in the land of Spain with the coronavirus and with a severe lockdown, we pray that during the summer things will improve, and we pray that the opportunities for worship and witness will be much better. We pray that the summer months will prove to be encouraging months. We pray for the Barracols as they're going to be involved with a Reformed Baptist Church in Malaga. And we pray for the American pastor there who'll be working along with Isaac. And we pray that will prove to be a good working relationship that will be beneficial all around. We pray that after various difficulties in the first year of their work, that things will go much better in the second year. We pray for their family life, that suitable accommodation will be found, and we pray for the education of the children, and just for all the needs there with a large family. Lord, we pray that you would do your work there in a wonderful way in Spain. We pray also for difficulties that have been experienced in the Scottish Church. We pray for the Airdrie congregation that is now vacant. We pray for Peter Lockridge, who's the interim moderator there once again. And we pray for Peter that you help him in that work on top of his work in Edinburgh, and just coming at a time when he's coming to terms with the loss of his mother. We pray, Lord, for your strength and help for him. We pray for the congregation in Airdrie, and we ask, Lord, for your provision for them. We pray that you will help them through this difficult time with having lost their minister. And we pray for him, O Lord, that you would work in him, and that out of all that has happened, that you would bring a good outcome, and we pray that you will provide and you will supply. Lord, we pray for the other for the other ministers there in Scotland, for Kenneth Stewart in Glasgow. We pray that his health will be stable, that he'll be able to cope with the workload that he has there. We pray for Stephen McCullum up in Stornoway. And we ask, Lord, that you'll be with Stephen in his life and ministry, and Stephen Steele in Stranraer. We pray that you will build your church down there in Stranraer. And we thank you, Lord, for encouragements, but we pray, Lord, that there will be others who will come to faith in the Lord Jesus and become a part of the church. And we pray, O God, for the working together of the men and the presbytery in Scotland, although they're many miles apart. We pray that when they come together, that they will work well together and be a blessing to one another. We pray, Lord, now that you'll hear these, our prayers, and we pray that you will do your good work within us. We ask all now in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, we sing in closing from Psalm 63, the first four stanzas here in Psalm 63. The tune is Wiltshire number 178. 63rd Psalm, sing the first four stanzas. O you, my God, I'll early seek my soul, it thirsts for you. In dry land, weary, waterless, my flesh longs after you. And in the fourth stanza, there is the expectation of that thirst and hunger being satisfied. My soul, with rich, abundant food, will be well satisfied. With shouts of joy upon my lips, my mouth will praise provide. God responds to those who seek him, and he puts praise upon our lips. So Psalm 63, the first four stanzas, the tune 178, and after this singing, then I'll close the service in the benediction.
O you, my God, I'll early seek. My soul, it longs for you. In dry land, weary, waterless, my flesh longs after you. I've looked upon you thus before, within your holy place, that there I might behold your strength and glory of your face. Because your grace is more than life, my lips you praise will give. I in your name will lift my hands and bless you. My soul with rich, abundant food will be well satisfied. With shouts of joy upon my lips, my mouth will praise provide.
Now receive the blessing of God. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.